Earlier this year, we brought you the story of a little boy whose remains were discovered in Montana back in the 1960s, and it turned out the boy was buried there more than 12,000 years ago. He was studied, and the research told us a lot about Native Americans, and he has now been reburied. Joining us from Montana are Sarah Anzik. She was one of the researchers who analyzed the remains, and Shane Doyle, a member of the Crow Nation who teaches in the Native American Studies program at Montana State University. Shane helped the researchers deal with the sensitive issue of handling Native American remains. Sarah and Shane, welcome to both of you. And Sarah, can you just start off by reminding us of the significance of this child's remains?
Yeah, so this child was actually identified in 1968 on the property of my parents in Wilson, Montana. And the child was found in association with over 100 stone and non-human bone tools that are consistent technologically with the Clovis generation. And the Clovis are at one point determined to be the first Americans, but however, we do know now that there's evidence that there is a pre-Clovis generation out there as well. And they were in existence from the archaeological record demonstrates that they were present in the Americas, actually only North American continent, from approximately 12,600 years before present to around 13,000 years before present. And the carbon dating on the Anzik remains was approximately 12,600 years old, so it was just at the end of the Clovis period, and that's approximately when the megafauna and the larger mammoth at that point had disappeared.
Hmm. Sarah, what have we learned about Native Americans and about the Clovis culture because of this boy?
So actually, we learned quite a bit. Because the Clovis period was short-lived, it was really unknown who the Clovis people were. They could have actually represented a culture who might have disappeared and not really left any descendants. So the genome sequencing of the Clovis individual really shed light and insight into who are these people, and they are the ancestors to essentially all Native Americans living in the Americas. They're most closely related, at least Anzik is most closely related to a southern branch. We see a deep divergence between the tribes represented by the northern tribes up in Canada and then the south and central tribes. We do not have any genomes from the United States tribes, so we don't really know where those fit, but Anzik fits just on the base of that southern branch.
And there was some controversy about all this. Shane, let me bring you in. And can you just tell us about some of the controversy about researching this boy before what happened last month, which was that he was reburied? There were some people that were upset.
Well, yeah, I think there's always going to be controversy when you study ancient human remains, especially in Native America. You know, there's such a history of abuse, I think, historically speaking, in the 20th century, 19th and 20th century of American Indian skeletons just being kept as research items rather than being respected as individual people with families and people in those families who wish that they could be respected and buried in a proper way. So this research did kind of, you know, cross lines in terms of what some people thought was appropriate. But overall, I think the people who have been involved with this now here in Montana, the American Indians, who have been involved with the repatriation and reburial, they see the value, I think, of the science, and you know, they have mixed feelings about all of it. But overall, I think they believe it's a positive step.
Now, you were both at the reburial. Shane, let me start with you. What was it like?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was a beautiful ceremony. There was a lot of people who participated, both American Indians and non-Indians. And I felt like it was a healing experience for all of us who were there and involved.
Sarah?
Yeah, for me, it was probably one of the most amazing days I've ever experienced. It was a moment of closure. It was peaceful. It was unity. And even though it rained throughout most of the ceremony, it didn't matter. It meant that much more. It was quite a spectacular day.
Sarah, the last time we talked to you, you said that this little boy's remains were discovered because he had a story to tell. Was this the end of his story, do you think?
this is the end of his story and its closure. And as I did say that, I felt that he's a gift, you know, for us to learn from. And he has given us an incredible gift. And so now is the time to return that gift to this child and return him to the ground. And that's what we've done. And so it feels really good.
I know there were members of several tribes at the ceremony. Shane, what do you think the reburial meant for them?
Well, it was very significant to members of several different tribes, especially members of the Kennewick tribes who attended the ceremony. As you recall, the Kennewick man was a controversial point of study back in the late 1990s and continues to be so. But there is currently a study undergoing right now on the Kennewick man, and the intention is to have him reburied as well in the same way that this little boy was. So this reburial, having it happen, seeing it come to fruition full circle, really gave people a lot of hope that the Kennewick man would also be treated with the same respect.
Sarah, what are you going to be researching now that that the story of the Anzac child has come to a close?
Yeah, so actually this whole experience and research was really done outside of my day job. Took a lot of time away from my family as well as my day job, which is actually at the NIH down at Rocky Mountain Labs. So I never really did stop with my current job, and that's what I'll go back and put a lot more focus back into it.
Shane, what about on the research side of things? What do you make of what we've learned from this boy and what it means for the future of looking into the history of Native American tribes?
Well, this is very important in the whole research program here for Native American people and DNA research. I think it helps to build trust between researchers and tribal communities, and it's a step forward in a positive direction. I think once the trust is established and there's a community established there between researchers and American Indians, that we can move forward with getting DNA sequencing done for contemporary tribal people. And so this study here, this reburial, means a lot, not just to ancient people, but to contemporary research as well.
Is there a limited amount of DNA sequencing for contemporary tribal people?
In North America, there has been basically none. Tribes have not really been involved with it. They've kind of mostly rejected that kind of research. So this is an opportunity now to maybe rethink that whole thing.
That's Shane Doyle, a member of the Crow Nation who teaches in the Native American Studies program at Montana State University. We've also been speaking with Sarah Anzac. The remains of the so-called Clovis boy were discovered on her parents' ranch in 1968, and she was one of the researchers who analyzed those remains, and they were both at the reburial last month. Sarah and Shane, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
And by the way, there's a song that Shane has sung for the young boy who was reburied last month. It's a traditional Cheyenne honor song. And when we spoke earlier this year, I asked him to sing it for us. That's Shane Doyle singing his honor song for the Clovis boy. The boy's remains were reburied in Montana last month. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
And I'm Sasha Favor. This is Here and Now.